Okay, today's up is Lamed Bet. The mission begins. This halacha daled. Kotvim get the isha afal pisha in ishto imo. That you can write. Sorry, get the ish. The sofer can write a get, and importantly, get edim to sign on the get for a man, even if the wife is not present. Okay, the Gemara is going to ask what are the conditions of that because of the concerns, and then we discuss this back in Masechta Gittin, of which we'll return to in a moment. And but the point is that he can divorce her. It's in his hands to do so, and she's not divorced until he does so. So therefore, it can be written. Similarly, v'shovali isha. This is a receipt that she received the ketubah that she would give her husband once she received the ketubah. So therefore, you can write the receipt for the isha afal pisha ein bala, even if that's not there, because it's to her detriment anyway to have it. Meaning, she has to give it to him to say that I've received the money. Okay, v'vad shi'a mikira. However, it's important that they recognize them. The sofer recognizes the person, as we'll see soon, because the concern is if a man might be writing a get with other people's names on it and give it to another woman so she can get sort of like leave that relationship. Okay. I mean, importantly, when it comes to the ketubah and sorry, or the shofar, sounds like as well that Baal has to give the has to has to pay for it. Okay, fine. The Gemara now continues. You can write a star for a lover, someone who's borrowing. Again, but you can't write a document from malve because once the malve, the lender, has a document in hand, he can use that document to claim money. So you can write to the lover who will have it in hand, ready to give it to a malve when he wants to borrow money from him. While it's in his hands, there's nothing to a detriment to have it there, and the malve can't do anything. But you can't write a document from malve without the lover present to say he's happy with the loan, because then the malve doubles the claim money. And once again, va lover noten scharo, and the lover has to pay for the document. Once again, very similar conditions when it comes to a purchase, just like in a loan. You can write it the document for the seller because he's going to hand it over to the purchaser when the person buys the land. That's fine. However, you can't write it for a purchaser without the seller there because he might not have bought it. Now you're giving them power to take ownership of this block of land. Okay, and the lokeach has to pay. When it comes to shtar erusin, we're not talking about a shtar kiddushin. We're talking about this is the shtar psikta in terms of how much each party will pay and things like that. V'nisuin, this is like the ketubah, eli midat shneim, provided that they're both there. V'hachatan noten at haschar, the chatan has to pay for it. Ein kotvim shtar arisut v'kablanut. This is the two different arrangements where someone works someone else's field. An aris is a sharecropper, and he promises to pay the individual that owns the field a percentage of the yield. Whereas a kablanot, I was thinking more of a choker here. Is another girsa? Yeah, there isn't. The kablanot, but that's choker is the other case where he promises to give him a fixed yield. But anyway, it's some sort of business arrangement. We say elamidach nem, as long as they're both present. You can't write without the one present. But makabel noten et haschar, and the recipient, he has to do the one who's taking on the obligation has to pay. Ein kotvim shtarei berurim. Shtar berurim here is where each party, as someone once said to me, it's called Zabla, right? Where yeah, they're both identifying who the Dayani will be in their Din Torah. And that's at least one way of explaining it. It's Zebra, that's what the Marfulda says. And also, another explanation, which it seems to be merging into one here. Is the actual claims that have been said during the case as well. But kol ma'aseh beit din, any type of enactment by beit din is not written ela midat shneim without along with the both present for shneim both have to pay. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer l'shneim kotvim shnai am shnaim leze ba'atzmo. Sorry, l'shneim kotvim shnaim leze ba'atzmo v'leze ba'atzmo. In other words, you need to write really two. And because each of the parties need to have their own copy. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now, when we learn the Gemara, this next piece of the Gemara until the Mishnah is, we saw it in much more detail and much more extended in Masechta Gittin. And the Ritbaz, which you have on the page, is, I think that's on the side, I realize it's you've got it in the place where I have the Marafulda. He actually brings a whole nusach from Gittin, which is much more elaborated. So I want to go through that as well, because to help us understand the sugya, because it's much shorter and brief here, and it's a bit difficult to understand. Some things are moved around. So I'll show you. So he says as follows. For Shama Girsis, you can see this Diramatka Rev Bab Tzrich. He says, Shama Girsis is as follows. So it's a bit like the Gemara. It starts here. Amar Rav Abba, Tzrich Shiu Makir Et Shneihem. If we're saying that you can write a get for Ish, even though the woman's not there, the sofer has to know that this man is the man that's being written in the document and his wife goes by this name. Okay? He has to know both parties to the company funny business. However, Amar Rebbe La Tzrich Shiyeh Makir Ish Beget V'Elisha B'Shovra. That all you really need to do is to know the person you are writing the document for. You don't need to know both parties. So that's why the Gemara there, this is where it starts getting a bit different and filling in the blanks. Rav Avun Bar Chiya Baye Kamei Rebbe, you ask a quick question. One second, if you only know one party, how does she have Isha Acher V'Gireshba? Maybe he's trying to help another woman to get out of her marriage, and her husband happens to have the same name as him. So when he's getting the document written up, he's getting it wrote for himself to get this woman out. So how is it sufficient that the sofer only knows one party, meaning the husband who's writing the get for? So Amar Lei Lekeshiyavo VeYaidu HaEdim. Now that's very important here. Now again, we're going to be explaining it like the Ribbaz in this sugya. When we did it in Gittin, we explained it like the Korban HaEda and the Ribbaz, because we were going to Korban HaEda at the time. It got a little bit confused along the way, but because we're mixing the two perishim, but we'll explain this like Ribbaz. He says in this situation. The reason why it's not a problem, according to Rav Lah, we only need to know one party, is if this woman has such a document, she'd have to bring proof, Edim, to say, yeah, we were the Edim for this woman's husband, meaning we know who the husband was because we signed this document, we know who he is. And if this woman comes along and says, this is my shtar, this is my get, the Edim would have to say, yeah, that's the husband, that's the person we signed the document for. That's why it'd be sufficient with even one knowing one party in this get, not two. And there won't be any concern that this man is drafting a document to try and help another woman get out of a marriage. Okay? So again, just the Chazara, Rav Abba says you need to know both parties. Rav La says even one, but even though, yes, you might think it opens up a little bit of room for abuse, if you like, or sort of falsehood or whatever, nonetheless, it needs to be backed up with witnesses at the time when the woman presents a get. Okay? That's what it sounds
I'm sorry, I
like.
don't understand why isn't the entire validity of the thing tolui on the Edim? Why does the sofer play a part at all?
No, because, so just to explain, the way we start the Mishnah is when a ketfin get li'ish, it means that and sign on it. So it's not just the sofer, the edim as well. Okay, that's what we're referring to. Sorry, maybe I didn't make
Sorry,
that clear in the beginning.
I
Ketfin
missed it.
get,
I
yeah, so
missed the
ketfin
beginning.
get. Okay, then it says, V'lo ken amar resh lakish. So I'm still in the Ribbaz, basically quoting what we've learned in Gittin. Lo ken amar resh lakish. Asu Edim hachatu mimalashtar kemishnichru adam. Why do you need the Edim to come along and start verifying the document and things like that in terms of this is who we're referring to? We say that usually you don't need the Edim. Once you've got signatures on the document, that's a good document. So Taman, the Gemara then there continues, Taman b'she'amru lo chatanu kol ikar. When do we say that the signatures on a document kemishnichru be'edim? That's when the Edim that might come along and say, we don't know what you're talking about. No, we say it's already the document is already verified and certified and zeal. However, here it's if they say, bro, yes, we did sign a document, but this is not the man in the document that we were referring to. That's not the guy that was there that we signed the document for, then we'd be believed. So that's why you can have these edim to substantiate it. So that's really filling the gap in the Gemara between the words Veshovra and Matnita. Now the Gemara says Matnita Pligi, so we're still in the Gemara in Gittin, so it's still clean the road with Baz. Now, just to yeah, fine. Matnita Pligi are Rebbe Abba. Why? Because there it is Birishona Hayu Meshanesh Mo Veshem Veshma Veshemiro Veshemira. That if say someone moved or something, that but they might have changed their names. Okay. So the Gemara says, Imba Mekira Shazet Bezet Tzrich Leshnot Et Shmotam. So just to explain. Let's go back again. Rebbe Abba says the sofer and edim need to know the people's by name very, very well before they can write the document for this husband without, even if the woman's not there. Okay, so the question is, It says Bishona initially, they would write it, they would change the names in the document. The question is, this is, for example, someone who moved towns has a different name, something like that. So if the problem is, according to Rav Bah, he needs to know them by name. He needs to know who this man is, both parties. So how would he ever be able to Mishaneshmo? How would they ever be able to write the wrong name? So this concern we had in the beginning, I mentioned Eshmo, Shema, Shemiro, Shemira, and then it could be used in the wrong context. You would never run into that problem. However, according to Rav La or Rav Ila, it's this sugya there, that's not a problem. There is a concern because I'll just read the bit of the Ridbaz here because he continues in a lot of detail. He says, Rav Ila, ain't Swichla Kirsha's Eshmo. According to Rav Ila, when it says, I recognize one party, I mean the husband, the writing of the get, it doesn't mean you, that they know him and his name. In other words, all you need to know, because if otherwise, Mahani, who cares? You're dim at Shmo, because you know the wife. Ella is simply enough if it's just Eka Hakara, that they simply would just recognize him. So, therefore, if the threshold to write the get is if the witnesses would be able to recognize this man, even though they know, even if they don't know his name, such that later on they can come along and say, yeah, we wrote a get for this man. You can understand why in the beginning there was a problem of Mishaneshmo of the Shema, that the names are being wrong. Like the names would change in the document. And then it could potentially be used in the wrong to free another woman out of a marriage that the get wasn't written for. However, according to Rav Abba, that the document in the beginning, Mishaneshmo Shema, how's that even possible? You have to know their names. You have to know who they were. So the Gemara says, the Gemara that answers, it says, shmaton. It's possible that we have people very much like me. You know a person very, very well. You just forgot their name. You just don't know their name. And you get past the point where you can sort of, it's a bit rude to ask their name because, like, you've been like sitting with them in shul for the last few years and you still, you know, whatever. So you can have someone you can makir, you can know the name if you like. So you can know the person, but you might not know the name. That's why that was initially a problem, Mishneshmosh, like with changing the name.
Especially when you have a get written in Medina Sayam, you know, nobody knows any of these
Correct,
people anymore.
exactly. 100%. So that's why, well, this is different because now we're saying the sofer to write, so we'd have to know who they are. Okay? So then the Gemara says, Matnita Pligi, unless I guess, fine. Matnita Pligi al Rav Ili. So this is Rav, or Rav La we have in our Gemara, that it's really just enough that the witnesses will like recognize, be able to recognize the husband, even if they don't by name and don't know about who the woman is. However, it says, Hitkin Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, you kotvim ish ploni v'kol shem sheyesh lo. Ish ploni v'kol kol shem sheyesh lo, mipnei tikkun olam. That they were metaken, that they would write ish ploni and all his names, and uisha ploni and all her names as well. Now, what's interesting here is, contrary bila, well, what does that matter? What's has a takana helping? Because we're going to be dependent and hinging on witnesses anyway. Just to answer your question, what's it helping? Ish v'kol shem shla, yishal kol shem shla. We need these witnesses, and because if you remember, the threshold for a blood to write the document is only if they're recognizing by face, and they're going to come along and say, yes, this is the man we wrote the get for. That solves our problem. So how's it helping to write the all kol shem shla? So the Gemara then answers, one second, but it says matnita b'magresh b'al korcho, ma darmiya b'magresh b'rtzono. So just to explain, he says, no, you've got it wrong. Meaning, the first way of explaining it, again, according to Ridbaz, is that when it's Baal Korcho, when the husband's being compelled to write a get, he might try and find a way of puzzling the get. So in that situation, we say, yes, no, you've got to write Kol Shem Sheyesh Lo so that he doesn't have the capacity to do so. What Rivila is talking about is a husband that comes along and says, I'd like to divorce my wife, and then you can depend on this whole leniency of not even knowing just not even knowing the names, the witnesses at least recognize him, and that would be sufficient to write the get for him. However, and it says Vitaimra, some say, but Magaresh bimakom acharim, which is a bit like Menachem was already saying. That if it's bimakor acharim, that's when he would agree, if you like, with Rav Ba. That you need to know both him and her, because you can't rely on if like witnesses coming along later on. You have access to saying, "Oh yeah, this is a person we wrote the document for," but rather what he's talking about is b'magaresh b'motol makom. If he's going to be divorcing her in that exact same place, In that situation, he says, you have this relaxed threshold where, as long as the, if you like, the witnesses, as long as the witness himself are just kind of recognize him, that'll be sufficient right at the get. And then later on, the woman would have to bring the witness and say, yes, this the get was written for her. Okay, beseder. That's that piece. As you can see, the way we have it written in the Gemara, all we have is the two shittot, and we have the two kashas without any terutzim. But the way I explained it to you is a fully sort of fleshed out Gemara with a bit of the shakla vataria and the answers to the two kashas from each shitta. Okay, beseder. Let's learn the next mishnah. This is halacha hey. Misha para mikzat kovol. Let's say someone paid off part of his debt. What do you do now? It says vishlishet. So vishlishet sharon. What he did is he said, look, you're going to give the shtar to so-and-so, meaning the contract, but amar lo, im lo natati lecha mikan vad yom ploni, if I don't pay you the remainder by a particular date, ten lo shtaro, then give him the shtar back, such that now I have to pay the full loan again, then he gives man if the time runs out, but lo natan, Rabbi Yossi says you're ten, he has to pay. Meaning the loan, the shtar is given back to the malve, such that now he has to pay the full debtor back. However, despite the fact he's partially paid it, however, Yoda says lo yiten, you cannot do so. And the basis of this is where we say asmachta kanyo or not. Meaning, when they gave the document and made the stipulation, did he really think he wouldn't be able to pay back the loan? Probably not. He probably thought I should be able to pay back the loan. And therefore, it wasn't a fully fledged gemiras das, if you like, in this context. And that's why the machlok Rabbi Yossi says no, asmachta kanya. And that's why the shtar would be given back to the malvi, has to pay a full loan. And Rabbi Huda says otherwise. Now, the Gemara says, Mishin Kach Shtar Chovo. Let's say someone has a loan document and it's been rubbed out, wiped out. Ma'amid alav Eidim, we get witnesses, or Balif Nei Beitin, the witness come from the Beitin, Henosim Kiyum. And they write what's called a Kiyum. A few points on this, by the way. Pardon me. So, firstly, I want to show you the Marful that he says, Mishin and Mishin Kach Shtar Chovo. And importantly, he says, "V'yesh edim shera'ush nimchak." The witness saw the actual loan document was actually wiped out, or shnitashtesh al yedei mayim, or fell into some water. Then he says, "You can." Then back to the like Marfulda, he says, "You get edim or ma'amin adam shiodim ma'ein matnichtav that know the details of this contract or ma'ayakatul what was written inside it, and or sen lo kiyum they write another document so that the loan can then still be recovered." Okay. You say ish ploni ploni nimchak shtaro beyond ploni or ploni ploni and so and so and so were the original witnesses in the document. Let's continue. Kotvim shtar lelove. Now tani itzumim. Now itzumim. There's two ways to explain or a few different ways of talking about this. The Marafulda says this is haskamat bale umaniot. These sort of like agreements that various bale umanot, be craftsmen make. Shasu b'neim takanot v'haskamot. They basically make certain takanot and agreements. La anosh mishu over al takanatan, like sort of fines instituted, if you like. Now the Rav Aval says gabi that they can be collected, and Rav Acha gabi also says it can be collected, and Rav Imi. He says Gabi and Rav Yona, Rav Yossi says Lo Gabi, they cannot be collected. Now, the way the Pnei Moshe says, this is all connected to the question of an Asmachta, very much connected to our Mishnah, whether these things can be collected or not. Now, in fact, this is Tani, Itzumim, the Marafuli here says, Amar Lashon Tani Lefish Dolei Amurayim Pligiba, Kilu Hebraita, meaning it's not really a Braita, but because of the great, if you like, Amurayim discussed it, or debated this point, as we see Rav Abba, Rav Acha, Rav Yona, Rav Yossi, etc., that is why it's referred to as being like a tani, even though it's not really the case. So the Gemara now continues, Amar Rav Mana, Afa Gav Delet Rav Yossi Gabi Itzumim, despite the fact Rav Yossi says you cannot collect these Itzumim, either because they're asmacht or these special tnaim, Modin Ales Bahu Diyai Berei Umnata, that gave his son over to be for a trade, to learn a trade, and they made some sort of tnaim between them. Now, according to the Pnei Moshe, this means some sort of like penalties that have to be paid, despite the fact that Rabbi Yossi seems to maintain that these are would not normally these sort of internal agreements of penalties and things like that don't apply. Nonetheless, that they can be collected in this context. And the Marafulda sends us to, if you like, Mishchanan Ezekin, that There's certain leniencies or certain exceptions made today for children to, for in order to allow people to, if you like, learn a trade. That's okay, put on mecha mekach, and that was the context in, of that sugya. Yeah. He explains it not really fine. He says he went to Itzmum Benehem, Sheshlem Haskama Benehem, Komishrotze Tchila Lil Modomanodor, Litchaber Lehem, She Ten Kachvakach. Anyone who wants to join that sounds like some sort of society, they would have to pay a certain amount and that should be collected. And again, Kadei Chayav, in order to learn the profession, they made a, even Rabbi Yossi would agree to these license or leniencies in order to, that they, that these takanot, or these internal takanot that are made between themselves have to be upheld. Okay, let's continue. Kotvim Shtar Lamocher. Says Amar Abukva. Tani b'ktuv de Belevi. It was taught in the bright of the baby having ktuvot. Haomer avad shtari. If someone lost his shtar, avad shtari. It says beitin osin lo kiyum. Then beitin would write this kiyum like we discussed. So Tani Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Omer afilu b'shtari birurim beitin osin lo kiyum. Even shtar birurim. Now we've mentioned before the birurim. There's two ways to understand it. One is the zebor lechad bezebor lechad, or the other understanding is the tan of the rim beitin. The various claims that were made in court. And the way here the Pnei Moshe says, despite the fact you might think that there's really no material or nafgamina in having these documents in hand, still if those are lost, it, that they would bait in or sekium. In other words, would still bother bait in to, if you like, write a kium for those documents. Okay, let's now learn halachavav. Misha para mitzak kochovov. Someone paid off part of his debt. So we've said before, the case we said in the previous halacha is they gave the shtar over to some other party and they made some sort of a smachta type of deal. And that was debated in the last mishnah. But the question is, what ideally you should be doing? Rav Yehuda says, yachlif. He says, well, you should write, you know, tear up the old document and draft a new one. Rav Yossi says, no, yichtov shovar. The original loan document can be intact. You simply write a receipt that he's been paid off, I mean, give the and give the receipt to the law there, that a certain portion of the loan has already been paid. Amar Rav Yehuda nimtza ze tzarich shomer, not shomer, shovro min achbarim. But he says, Rav Yehuda says, I don't like the concept of writing receipt because I'm concerned that this law there has to be very careful. He doesn't lose a receipt or doesn't get eaten up by mice. So Amar lo Rav Yase, v'chein afelo, great, fantastic. The al yirak kochol, because that's preferable to yirak kochol shel zeh. Because when you write up a new document, the problem is it's going to have a new date. And the malveh will lose out by the fact it's a new document. Why? Because when it comes to a loan, you can collect, meaning there's a lien on the land from the time of the loan. Meaning any land that was sold after the time of the loan, the malveh can go to the purchaser and give me that land. I have a lien on this land that my borrower was unable to pay back. But as soon as if you say that after it's partially been paid off, you write a new document, then the date from which you can collect this land is now much further into the future, if you like. Not future, but less back into the past. So he doesn't. So he has less. His position is worsened as a result. So that's kind of the debate. Now let's have a look at the Gemara. Misha para mitzat chovo. Rav Mar, he said, osen lo kiyum bebeitin. When you're writing this kiyum, where does it have to be? It has to be done in beitin. Again, the bright Reb Chia taught is, or brought is, ein osin lo kiyum beitin doesn't necessarily have to be beitin. It can be done just in front of witnesses. Or it's actually interesting that the Rav Fulda says that Reb Chia says, ein beitin osin lo kiyum. You don't do in front of beitin. You have to be done in front of witnesses. Okay, fine. So Amar Reb Yirmiya, ilu shema Rav matnaya lo avameima hadamilta. Had Rav Yirmiya heard the following, it sounds like the brighter the Reb Chia taught, he wouldn't have had his position. I mean, he could do it by Edim. Kagon, what would the Edim say? Kuron demari ken ani ploni ben ploni lova mimcha ploni maploni arev. That this would be the, if you like, what they would write up in terms of I so and so borrowed from you so and so was the guarantor. Now the Gemara says, now if you continue here, Rav says it's done in front of Beit Din. Reb Chia brought the brighter that says it doesn't need to be in front of Beit Din. So each are going according to the Shita now. Rav says, Sirich la'azkir is man rishon b'sheni. That when the Beit Din drafts up the new replacement loan document, it would write the original date from the first loan in it. Okay? Now, what the Marfulda adds is, afilu hachi, nonetheless, despite the fact you might think, isn't this what's called a shtar mukdana, a contract that has a date that is too far in the past? Says nananas afilu hachin unless alima beitin nafuke mamon shalokuchot, that the beitin has the power, if you like, to extract money from purchase of a bizman rishon. Okay, so in other words, this koach beitin, hefker beitin, however you want to call it, that they have, that's why the first date is written. However, Shmuel says no, ein sarich lazkir zman rishon b'sheni, when they write the kiyum, the next, or not kiyum really, the replacement document. We're talking about replacement documents now because part of the loan has been paid off. Just to clarify, when I say kiyum, we're talking about, it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is what Marafulda points out, that we're talking about when we're being machlif, we're writing a new document, you wouldn't write the first date, you would write from this man, Sheni. Ein tzrich l'sor hazman rishon, b'sheni. So all you write is the date from now when this new loan has been drafted. So Tani Reb Chia ain't so mich laskir zman rishon b'sheni. That's exactly Reb Chia l'shitato, because he says, look, this is not done in front of Beit Din. This is done by Eidim, and therefore you don't have koach Beit Din Yafeh that can allow this document to be backdated to make a lien on property all the way back to when the original loan was done. So therefore, Reb Yochanan by im tzarich laskir zman rishon b'sheni now brings a proof to shita Reb Chia. He says, "Im tsarich laskir zman rishon b'sheni." If you really were able to write the original date in this replacement document that was the original date from the original loan, then al hada amr b'yosi v'chen yafed lo v'al yerek koach zeh. Then why would Rabbi Yossi be arguing with Shita Rabbi Yehuda? So let's just go back over this again. Our Mishnah says, "Chazar on the sugya." Our Mishnah says that if somebody partially pays off a loan, what do you do? Rabbi Yehuda says you switch the documents. Rabbi Yossi says, you don't write up a new document because it's going to impact the malva in a negative way. It's going to impact the power of his lien because the lien's only going to from this point onwards. Therefore, you write a shovar. So the Gemara's discussion is, okay, well, firstly, when you're yachlif, when you write this new document, where's it done? Rav says you do it in front of Beit Din. Reb Chia says you do it in front of Eidim. Then the question is, okay, what date do you put in this replacement document, this second document that has a lower figure? Rav says you do the first date. Why do the first date? Because it's got the power of a lien, like the patron's got such a koach that you can have this as being a backdated document in order that the lien goes all the way back. Whereas Reb Chia says no, it's done from Eidim. It's really only going to be from the date we're writing the document, replacement document now. The point Rav Yochanan is saying is, if you say that you, like Rav says, you can write the first date, original date, go back dating, then you're not putting the malva in a bad position by writing up a new document. It's the best solution ever, because the lover doesn't have to worry about looking up the shovar, and the malva doesn't lose out by having a replacement document because the lien still goes back to the original date. The fact that Rabbi Yossi says, one second, al yireh kachol shel zeh, must mean that by writing a replacement document, you're putting the malva in a bad position. You're impacting his power of lien, if you like. So mashma, therefore it seems to support the shita of Shmuel and Tani Reb Chia, or Reb Chia, that you would be the, in this replacement document, you would write the date from which it is being written now. Okay, so we'll pick up from here tomorrow. Tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, I think we'll try and finish the Masechta because Lamed Dalet is very short. Okay, so have a good day, Dov. Thank you.